Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 277, part 1, Mount 6. Today is Friday, January 25th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Titled Mount 6. We have been ministering on the Beatitudes for the last five messages. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I didn't say moan. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And one I didn't minister on, because I've ministered so much on this particular one. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We sure need a lot of that right now. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And you know what happens to them after that? They become peacemakers. So the next one is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. First of all, God has to get them pure in their heart, or they won't want to be a peacemaker. Our old nature is not for making peace, it's for making war, for being in continual strife. And it seems like we're not happy unless we're in some kind of strife. Before that, we receive that pureness, to that degree at least, in heart. We have a two-week period where we'll give people grace and, okay now, that's enough of that. You have enough peace. So we get right back into conflicts again. So these messages are the very character of Jesus Christ. And I think we need to preach it in the end time. What did Jesus have to say? So I think in order then to stand in the end time, we must become Christ-like. Now tonight, we'll see what our reward is for taking on this Christ-like attitude. Maybe you're not ready for this, I don't know. Remember though, while I'm preaching here, I'm preaching from Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is really the preacher. What do you think then that would be the reward for the Beatitudes? Doing all the B-E hyphen attitudes that Jesus ministered. What do you think our reward should be? Prosperity? Hyper-spirituality? Or hyper-spiritual authority? Got to be some reward for this. Well, here it is. It's persecution. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that means for Jesus' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Easy for you to say. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before. You don't hear this a lot, do you? Well, I'm just preaching what Jesus has to say here. And every one of these that we preached on, the poor in spirit, those that mourn, the meek, the people that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the merciful, and the pure of heart, and the peacemakers, all those things do not agree with us. That is the flesh. So then we have to start to minister by the Spirit. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that's for Jesus. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You already have it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be, not just glad, exceeding glad. Exceed gladness. Well, I don't know. You must go into some kind of a laughing fit. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before. This is the very last of the Beatitudes. We have been then describing the very character of Christ. When we master these attitudes, our reception will be similar to what Jesus Christ received. Isn't that exciting? Persecution. Now I hear people saying right now, that's unfair, I can't believe it. I mean, I was such a rascal before. Can't they appreciate the change? They should clap, they should rave, they should stomp, they should say, praise the Lord. But this is not the way it's going to be, Jesus says. It's not going to be like that. Well, maybe you're saying I haven't come against anyone like that or been come against myself like that. Well, maybe you're a secret agent for the Lord. You're not going to suffer persecution if you don't do anything for the cause of Christ. You're not going to suffer persecution if you just get out there and you're no threat to the devil and all you're doing is claiming things for yourself. That will keep you plenty busy because you always have tremendous wants. And so I say, maybe you're listening on the radio, have been a secret agent for the Lord. An undercover agent. Maybe you're just holding back for just the right time, right? What's that? Does it mean you should have no friends? No, we all need friends. That's a very important thing. We all need friends. Every Christian needs friends. That's why you pray for your enemies, in hopes that they may become your friends. Or at least, not throw as many stones. We all are going to have a few loyal friends. You found that out being down here in a mission ministry? You're going to have a few loyal friends. You don't need any more. You only need a few. It's a lot of work keeping up with a lot of friends, especially if they're phonies. Got to feed them. Got to say just the right things to them. Got to put up a lot of times with boring conversations. And they're really not friends anyway. What a waste of time. What a blessing when the real friends come forth. When the body of Christ in the end is persecuted. Persecuted so even almost the elect are fooled. What a blessing that's going to be when it's pure friendship. Talking about pure. Die for a friend. Die in the wool. What a wonderful thing to have a friend in Jesus Christ when all the others have scattered away. Well, I'm not preaching this. Jesus said. It isn't too popular what Jesus had to say. Well, I know Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." Well, then some use this and pride themselves on being hated. In order to prove that they're right on, they become obnoxious, self-righteous, laying burdens on others, too heavy to bear, Pharisees. Always quoting scriptures at the wrong time. You ever been around somebody that quotes scripture when you're irritated? You know what the Word says, according to the Word. Word says this and the Word says that. You ever have somebody do that? Giving advice when you didn't ask for it. You ever met someone like that? I'm not talking about the people Jesus is talking about. You ever had someone like that? Well, I thought to myself, if it then is a tragedy that all men speak well of us, I believe it's even a greater one if all men speak evil of us. All men. Jesus, I believe, is saying, if we are vital, and if we are vital in our goodness, we will then provoke opposition. If you're doing a good job for the cause of Christ, there'll be a whole lot of people trying to talk you out of doing it and give you a whole lot of excuses for leaving. Did you hear that on the radio? A fellow asked me, "Why is it that you stay on in missions?" Well, I said, "I have found more reason to stay than excuses to leave." We can always find excuses for running out. Well, anyway, just look at Jesus, and because of his vital goodness, his poor spirit, his mourning, his meekness, his hungering and thirsting after righteousness, his mercy, his pure of heart, his peacemaking. Jesus, I'm talking about the greatest of all givers. Of course, some did love him, but then some hated him with a hellish hate. Well, you don't really know hate until you have someone hate you with a hellish hate. I mean like hellfire hate. And so they called him crazy. They called him a drunk, a blasphemer. They beat him, they spit on him, they put a crown of thorns on him, they hung him on a cross, they mocked him. They put a spear in his side, and why? Because of his vital goodness. You irritate the devil when you do gospel. I'm not just talking gospel, I'm talking doing gospel. This is the first year in this ministry that we've been, oh, let's say, $18,000 in the hole. It used to be 30, 35. Now it's 18. And folks don't like that. Saying, you're almost out of the hole. They'd like to have you grubbing and sweating and crawling. And see, you irritate folks when you do the gospel. Are you sure then that you want to master the Beatitudes? That you want to become the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men? Are you sure you want to become Christ-like? I'm talking about in regards to the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Do you want to become Christ's attitude? Okay then, if you do, to find the secret of mastery, you need a master. You can't tell yourself, self, be masterful. You'd look awful awkward trying to be masterful. You'd look awful obnoxious and awful silly trying to look that way. You ever try to look that way, masterful? Like you got everything in charge and then you stub your toe or something like that? No, to be masterful, according to Scripture, you must be full of the Master. And if you're full of the Master, you will be persecuted. Hated, it says, in the house of your friends. And like I said, don't use that and just, be miserable around people so they'll treat you that way. No, just be vital in doing the gospel and you're going to suffer persecution. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, let me impart life to you. Here is life. Here is the attitudes you should have. Here are the ones you should be, the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. Let me show you how to live according to the kingdom of God. And so then the Christian way has to be centered in such a master. Jesus, I'm talking about, the most masterful person the earth has ever seen. He walked into time and simply divided it into the before and after, the beginning and the end, the BC and the AD. And he got people thinking. He altered our conceptions about God, life, and I believe destiny. And so then he walked right into our mortal and moral, I should say, our conceptions about what moral really is. Now, you hear a lot of talk about moral people. Our only claim to morality is Jesus Christ. But he walked into our moral conceptions and into our codes. And now we are good or bad according to whether we're saved or not, and that's the bottom line. God sees you as righteous the moment you put on righteousness, and you put on righteousness by receiving Christ. He walked, I should say, into our split with God and brought us back to Him with the price of dying on the cross. In other words, we were grafted in. That split was filled, bound up, if you will. And so He gave us a brand new beginning, but He also predicted our end. He gave us victory over sin, period. Young man came to me and he says, well, you know, now I really, and this is 14 years ago, I led this young man to the Lord. He's had problems with drugs and so on like that, and he's been up and down and so on. Now I really am saved. Well, you weren't saved before? Well, the problem was I didn't really ever really repent. I said, well, how do you really, really repent? Is there some kind of a cry that you let out, or is there some kind of a secret word like open sesame, or how do you really repent? I don't understand that. Furthermore, repentance is of the Lord. He gives you the power to repent. He puts it in your mouth and in your heart. All you do is repent, and all you do is just say it, and then you go up and down. How many in their Christian walk have gone up and down since they have been saved? You haven't? You've been perfect? No, I'll never claim I went up and down. I'm not talking about drinking, smoking, doping, laying around. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm talking about how many have been up and down. And that could even be the case. You've gossiped. You got mad. You had murder in your heart. Well, people do that, and then they go right back up to the altar again. I tell you, you could go ahead and preach ministries to people, lay that long, skinny finger of the law out there and touch, have the discernment of God on you and misuse it and have people running up to the altar every other Sunday to get saved again. How many are hearing this? How about giving some of the folks out there a chance to be saved instead of coming up and crowding the altars yourself all the time? Are you hearing this on the radio? Oh, I hope you are. Any man say he be without sin, he is a liar, Jesus said. And there is no truth in him. Woo! How do you like that one? Let me impart life unto you. And anyway, he did it quietly. He did it effortlessly. Yeah, hated, yes, but good overcame evil. Now, all good and all good is of God. You have no claim to goodness. Well, Jesus says, why do you call me good? There is no one good, none but the Father. Hated, yes, I said. He was hated, but good overcame evil. And so his thought was passed on. We find ourselves doing things we couldn't do. Before I was saved, I couldn't say praise the Lord. It'd stick right about here. Could you say praise the Lord in front of all your friends before you were saved? Think about it now. Could you? Some can't do it even after they are saved. It sticks in their craw a little bit. That's all right. Just practice it. It'll come out. Could you? No, no one can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit. You couldn't do it. Thinking thoughts that you couldn't think before. You couldn't sit and ponder and think about the Lord. You couldn't pray before. Loving people that you couldn't love. I had a woman come today. I was out in here. She had a spirit and she just started yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming. I've known people like that in my life. I am familiar with that spirit. So I said, let me take you over to your car. I got her over to a car over there. I says, real quietly, I want you to stop that. Now I want you to get in your car and I want you to shut the door and I want you to get out of here. Went in my office, I'm sitting in my office. I had prayed about this woman. See, you take charge over spirits. It's upsetting the whole atmosphere of the giveaway. Well, that wasn't very Christ-like. Goodness me. Now, aren't we twisted in our thinking a whole lot of times? And I prayed. You know what? This woman called up. Said, Pastor, I'm really sorry for what happened out there today. Well, I said, that's all right, honey. You're a very nice woman. You were just having a hard time. It was hot out today. You needed some direction. We all do. Okay, thank you very much. Goodbye. Click, brr. Are you hearing this? We surprise ourselves a lot of times and we surprise others. Why didn't you get mad? Why didn't you lift this creature up by the heels and, you know, bodily carry this screaming, yelling person to her car? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The incorruptible seed, as it takes root in our hearts and it grows, we take on His character. And even sometimes those that are close to you, when you start taking on the dedication and you start taking on the let's go on with what God has called us to do attitude and take on the beatitudes of Jesus Christ, a whole lot of times you're going to irritate folks and they're going to want to give you a knuckle sandwich. Are you hearing me? They might want to call you out of what you're doing and plant you over in some, what would you say, some motel or something where you could go for the weekend over there and have a study. Maybe go over to Israel and study over there. But for gosh sakes, don't go over, don't get involved and stay where you're at and be dedicated to doing something like that. Oh, don't ever do that. And you're going to start to irritate folks. Because you just won't give up. What's there to give up to? That? Glory to God. What's there to give up to? That? A miserable nothing? Substandard sewer Christianity living? What is there to give up to? Nothing. Maybe in the beginning when you started to pick up on these Christ attitudes, you thought, well, gee, I'm missing out. All my friends, they think I'm crazy. Even my Christian friends, they think I'm going too far. Oh man, don't do that. I mean, you're going to hate it. Sure, your flesh is going to hate it. Always your flesh is going to hate it. You're in this body. You're in this sinful body, see? I don't care. Paint it up, dress it up, deodorize it. It's dying. That's why we have to put deodorant on all the time. We're dying. Some people smell like they're dead already, right? But getting back to this, what do you leave when you're in this dedicated beatitude type of work, the beatitudes of Christ? Well, you get so into it, what would you ever leave to? And when you pick up that kind of an attitude, you're going to irritate folks. They're going to hate you. They won't even know why. What they'll hate is that Christ in you that growing, that incorruptible seed of Christ likeness growing in you, they are going to hate it. Because you see, we take on his character, his beatitudes, the way he be. I be vital. Now, I know I'm not using correct English. Don't send card and letters in, please. I'll do it my way. But we take on his character, his beatitudes, like Paul, who lived, I believe, the beatitudes so beautifully. What a wonderful example. Who was a great peacemaker, who loved all men. He was all things, he said, to all men to gain a few. It says he was willing to be spent and be spent for them, though the more he loved them, the less he was loved by them. Well, did all men love Paul? No way. Did all men approve of Paul? No. They hated him. They chased him out of towns. They stoned him. They left him for dead. They whipped him over and over. Now, there were some people saying, well, see, it was just the righteousness of God for what he had done to those Christians. He was getting paid back. No, it was the Christ likeness in him that irritated folks. They whipped him, the Bible says, over and over and over till he had scars on top of his scars. Stoned him. And at last, the Bible says, he died a martyr's death. But anyway, his last words still echo across the centuries. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Isn't it funny how we can get into conversations and we can talk about things? Why not talk about Jesus? We can find, it's kind of like building ourselves up by tearing something else down. Well, what do you think of this? I don't think a whole lot about it at all. I ain't got time to think about it. Well, what do you think about and this and so on? And what do you think about that? Do you think this and do you think that? Do you think women should wear lipstick? I don't care if they wear lipstick. They need to wear lipstick. See, man, somebody. And this is the point. The point is Jesus Christ lifted up? Do you think they should wear jeans or overalls? I don't care. That's not the point. The world can go to hell while we're busy arguing about fashion. These are all immaterial. Come on down here, you listening on the radio. Come on down here with all that goes on down here. And then get into that kind of a conversation while people are wandering around hungry. And these endless debates. I'll tell you something, radio audience. A lot of times when we get into these endless debates, it's because we have guilt in ourselves. And the very things we hate in others is because it's in ourselves. Be careful of that. When we just get out there, I mean, that's, of course, we don't like pornography and we don't like X-rated movies and all of these things. But when we start crusades, and that's all we can talk about, whatever gets your attention, fellas, gets you. When you continually talk on the woes of liquor, and we continually talk about those nasty prostitutes and those folks with AIDS, and we just have such a venomous hate, something is wrong. You hate the sin, but you love the sinner. And if you love the sinner, you don't point out their sin. Love covers a multitude of sins. Hey, shut up and go on with the cause of Christ. Period. Jesus came, it says, to save sinners. And by the way, when you get to heaven, if you can't admit you're a sinner and you have sin, you won't even make it into heaven. Sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. You'll be a sinner saved by grace. Well, gee, no, when I get there, I'll be perfect. Oh, don't you ever think it. Oh, don't go up there. Don't go up there with your little attaché case and say, here's everything I did, Jesus. Because you can't take credit for anything. Jesus, it says in the Bible, did it all. And when you get up there, you just say, mercy! Well, there's folks that think they don't need mercy. Oh. Are you hearing this? All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer, yes, persecution. Well, why is it, someone's asking me even now on the radio, why is it that goodness gets such bad reception? It was that way in the days of Jesus Christ, and it will be that way until His kingdom is fully come. I believe this. I believe if all Christians would confess Jesus Christ as Lord in every situation and not with a phoniness, it would provoke. I mean with works along with it. See, it's easy to go about and preach and sit in cafes, go over here to the Pannekuchen or the Pancake House or something and just sit there and talk about Christianity. It's easy to do that. Now, I venture to say, if you go into any of those places and you sit where there's a group on a Wednesday night or a Sunday afternoon or a Friday night or whatever, they'll be talking about their church. They'll be talking about the people in the church, and you'll overhear it. And you get, you know, if you got the Beatitudes of Jesus, you get sick in your gut. Well, I don't know. We just need a new choir master, and I just think the pastor so and so. I think they ought to ship him to Bolivia. I think it's time he goes. No, I'm talking about being the attitudes, and when you be the attitudes, you're going to do the attitudes because that's what you be. See, whatever we are comes out. Whatever the heart is full of, it's going to come out. It might come out disguised. It might come out as a venomous hatred towards some kind of a sin. And it's beautiful to hate sin. But I'm talking about a venomous hatred towards some person or some action or something. And we can disguise that. We go out there after that thing. And really, that's what's in our own heart. The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. And who can know it? You don't want to know your own heart. You don't want to know, listening on the radio, every little nasty cavern of your heart. There are secret sins that Jesus doesn't even tell us about because we wouldn't have time to even keep up with it. There are attitudes that are so ingrained in our old nature, bitternesses and hatreds and, they're in there, aren't they? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to claim that. I didn't ask you to claim it, sir. I did not ask you to claim it. I'm merely telling you what the Bible says. The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? I am. But I believe if Christians would confess Jesus Christ as Lord in their home and on their job, in the streets, on the bus, in the parks, in the schools, in the back seat of a car, that stop a lot of action. In the church, if we had to say Jesus Christ is Lord before we got in the conversation, we're sitting there and we had to say Jesus is Lord. And then, hi, how are you, Betty? How are you? Huh? How you doing? Hi, Agnes. How are you? Now, if we had to say Jesus Christ is Lord before we got into that conversation, it would kill that conversation. And we can disguise it and put on a cloak of righteousness and tie it about our neck like a vamp. But it doesn't mean anything. Oh, hey, give me somebody. Give me someone that is honest. Just honest. That's all we have to be. If Jesus Christ is Lord, is confessed with a mouth, it's going to bring on opposition. You will. I mean, the genuine Christian causes opposition because he is different. He is different. You must become different. Now, I didn't say you're all going to look the same and sit around smiling like a whole bunch of chessy cats. I didn't say that. But you're different. You're the same person, but you're different. If you were a hard worker, then you're a hard worker for Jesus. God just turns it around. If you were a con artist, and God takes those abilities and refines them, and you go on out and use them for the Lord, become a beggar of sorts. Maybe for the poor even. No, we don't know what it is, but we are different. Well, I think people should say, oh, you can trust them people. They're Christians. And I think even some in the world admire people who are different. Well, he's sure a different cut of a guy. But they also resent them that they are different. They admire them, but they resent them. They admire their courage, but they want people to share their views, their prejudices, their customs, their thinking, their action. And they want us to see things their way. And so then society wants us to conform and lose our individuality. Jesus wants you to be an individual in Him. You aren't all going to be the same. Praise God that people aren't all the same. Drag, oh, the draggy, drag, drag, drag. I'm so glad that people don't become all the same, but they're individuals. See, you can be taught on how to be a Christian and you're all the same. You can get legal in it. You can be like Mormonism. Legal. This is what it means to be so. Or you can be an individual in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful that you can be an individual? You're allowed the privilege of being you in Jesus. Aren't you glad that everybody isn't like me? I am. Sometimes I cannot stand myself. Aren't you glad that everybody isn't like you? Everybody exactly like you. Would you wish that on anybody? I mean, in all honesty now, like you really are, like you know you really are, as much as God has revealed to you. But remember, while I'm saying this, there is the incorruptible seed in you that can never be corrupted. That Christ-likeness that's growing in there. Talking about our old nature that we're coming out of. Some of us faster than others, but then we'll miss a point and we'll have to go back to kindergarten. I don't know how it works. But I know it's a perfect work. No, we have to be different, but we're still individuals. You cannot become a moral group. We are this or we are that. Can't happen. Hey, keep on a keeping on. And in the end, every daring saint who accepts Christ's way of life will surely be resented. Did you ever resent somebody for doing something? Maybe you had a brother or sister you're listening on the radio. Maybe you had a brother or sister that always was working all the time. Always did their room, always did this, always did that. And you're resenting them for it. You make me sick, Mr. Perfect. Little Miss Nicey Nicey Pants. You hated them for doing good. It's our nature. They'll call you, it says, peculiar. Isn't that a peculiar person?
There you have it. That was episode 277, part 1 of Mount 6. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be. you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.